Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
So on the cover of our magazine this month for November, Entrepreneur Magazine, 50 Most Daring Entrepreneurs of 2017, Jeff Bezos. And it says, how Jeff Bezos pushes his team to greatness. That's what we want to do here for you. So we interview people that are doing just that. Not just regular people, entrepreneur people. Super people in my mind. Our guest today, starting out, is Todd Olson. He is the co-founder and CEO of Pindo.io. I asked him what I.O. is. He's like, I don't know. But that's all right, because he said couldn't get .com. What the hell, Todd, right? It's like, I don't know. We just
exactly.
It doesn't really matter anymore. It's kind of funny. But welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Alan. It's great to be here.
So here's what I want to talk about. And I think this is very, very important, because I am like not the traditional businessman. I have always taken the path less traveled. I have always kind of done my own thing. And everybody would laugh at me and say, what are you doing? You're crazy. You're not doing, you know. I'm like, I don't care. I got to do things my way. I believe in this day and age, because of the interweb and because of the fact that we live in such virtual worlds, you know, somebody just sent me 150 photographs while I was talking on my cell phone. It was like, bring, there they are. I'm like, what? You know, it's like huge, gigantic photographs. And it's like everything is instantaneous in our world. You don't have to be in an office next to somebody. You don't have to be in Silicon Valley. I don't have to be in New York. The headquarters of Entrepreneur are in New York, and the other one's in Orange County, LA. So I don't have to be there. I live in Oregon. I want to live in Oregon. To this point, you are not in Silicon Valley, but that is the world that you should be living in for the type of business that you have. Tell the world what Pindo is.
Pindo is a software as a service company who focuses on helping software teams improve the experience of their software. So we've got a product that you install into software products that captures behavior on how people are using it and combines that with in-app messaging to educate, onboard, and make sure that users of the software get value out of it.
So for those that doesn't mean anything to, that is like Silicon Valley speak. And it's actually means nothing to me because I'm a broadcaster, right? So I don't, you know, that's not my thing. But what is more important here for the moment, not that your company Pindo is not important, Pindo.io, if you guys want to check it out, is that the trend right now is that tech companies are finding success in tech hubs across the country. To that point, where are you located?
We are headquartered in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Why aren't you where you should be, according to all the people that want to invest in you? Oops, no, you got a big investment. So why aren't you in Silicon Valley? I mean, are you part of that trend that you don't care what society thinks of where you live? You still do your job, you do it well, and people will search you out. You know what they say. If you build a good product, the world will beat a path to your door, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And absolutely, that's the way it is. So I think people choose us because we're great at what we do, not because of where we live. And yes, because of the interwebs and the world that we live in now, we don't have to. And I mean, very honestly, even when I travel to Silicon Valley, I walk into a conference room, sit down, they typically dial someone in from somewhere else around the world, right? So the whole having to be in the exact same location as that area is just far less important than it used to be. And I guess, you know, when I was younger, I think I was this is more of a pride thing. It's like, I think like you, I was trying to take the path, the harder path, right? It's like, oh, people would say, oh, you, to be successful, you have to be in the Bay Area. And I went to college in Pittsburgh. So I went to Carnegie Mellon, started my first company in Pittsburgh. I was like, well, I'm here and Pittsburgh's amazing, right?
Right.
You know, fast forward to today, you know, I'm now wise enough and more experienced enough to kind of see why people recommend being out there. but also wise enough and experienced enough to know how to create and balance things such that you don't and still be successful. And you know, it may mean I travel a little bit more, but, you know, there's strengths and weaknesses of every area you live in.
No doubt.
And now my focus is how do we leverage our strengths to, you know, build a better business? And I think that's what's kind of driven a lot of our success.
All right, hang tight. We're going to talk with you a little bit more here. pendo.io. Again, I don't know what I-O stands for. Most people don't know what com stands for, but you can get dot anything these days, and it doesn't really matter. If people find you because you're good at what you do, that's what matters. This is Entrepreneur Radio, Entrepreneur Every Week, so we call it Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for hanging with us. We're talking with Todd Olson, co-founder and CEO of Pendo. The hell is Pendo, you say? We're going to find out right now. But this is all about thought leadership, people that are doing well. We want to learn from them. So we start out by asking in this segment, what is Pendo? What does it mean?
What Pendo means is, you know, I came up with a name very simply. So Pendo means value in Latin, and it means love in Swahili. Mm. And the whole vision behind the company is that products that we get value from and ultimately love are the ones that are great products that are generally behind the great companies, right? So if you think about the things that you and I use day in, day out, we use terms like, I love this thing, I can't live without it.
Right.
And certainly, most, if not all, the things that we use on a regular basis, we're getting some value out of it. If we're not getting value out of it, we're going to stop using it. And Pendo's vision and what we really believe is a world where we're all building products that people value and love. And that's really where it came from.
Yeah. So oddly enough, my company, we have a company, our slogan is brands you trust, people you love. So these things, like you are saying, is very important to me personally. When I sat down with my employees outside of Entrepreneur, this radio show, we have an entertainment company, and brand you trust, people you love. That way you never have to apologize for the brands, and you never have to apologize for the people either. So it's really about whether it's, I don't know, call it customer satisfaction, very important, because I'm a customer too. You know what I mean? So I understand when I appreciate the little things that people do. And a good example is a friend of mine was talking about one of these really swanky hotels. I will not name it because it doesn't matter. It's the principle here that he ran out of his cologne and he threw the cologne in the trash. And I don't know, it was aftershave or whatever. When he came back the same day later on, there was a brand new bottle of this aftershave that the hotel thoughtfully had gone out and purchased. Now, guess what happened there? For that $5 or $9 or $10 of whatever it might have been, yep, that they bought a lifetime customer as well as a customer that will tell everyone they know, you're not going to believe my experience at this place. Unbelievable, right? So customer, yep, satisfaction and customer loyalty, uber important.
Yeah, I mean, that is a huge focus for us, and we're trying to make sure that everyone's talking about this subject, because I think a lot of people ask, like, how do you attribute your success raising money, or how do you attribute your success to this? Honestly, it all comes back to treating customers really, really well and focusing as an entire company on loyalty. And, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, my support team's focused on loyalty, or my customer success team. Pendo, it's our entire company is focused on customer loyalty. So we measure what's called the Net Promoter Score, or NPS.
Wait a minute. Net Promoter Score. Okay. NPS.
Correct.
Yep.
Correct.
Okay.
NPS. It's a poll. We survey our end users, our customers, and we report on it on a weekly basis and to our board of directors. So we hold ourselves accountable that if we're not doing a good job, we're getting that feedback, and then we're going to respond to it. We're going to do something about it. We're going to prioritize work that listens to that feedback and make sure we create a better experience for customers. And I love your example because it touches on delight. And delight's another area that is underserved. There's plenty of areas that you can do to just make your customers happy, but when you truly delight them, when you surprise them, that's how you really get customers for life. And that's what we all should be driving for. Is that's how you create a lasting business as well.
Yeah. Is that kind of the premise of what Pendo does?
A lot of what we do is around that. And mm-hmm. I mean, I think if I instill in our brand promise, it's all about helping companies create love between their end users and their products. Because ultimately, those are the ones that win.
Whew, that's some heavy stuff, brother. Creating love. I'm a love
We're
creator.
The love business here, Alan.
Pendo.io. We'll take another break, come back, and you can put your professor's cap on and tell us how you wave your magic wand to create that love, customer loyalty, customer experience, thought leadership. That's what this show is all about. Todd Olson's with us. Pendo, PENDO.io. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. Be right back.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And we have one right here, Todd Olson, co-founder and CEO of Pendo.com. Here's a company that develops software to study user behavior so that they can also then tell you how to get your customers, your clients, your users to react, to buy, to spend their money, to get engaged, and to have loyalty. Isn't that it's kind of what it's about at the end of the day. I don't want somebody to come to my website and go, that's no good, next. I mean, isn't that kind of the way it is? It's like, if I lose,
exactly.
Right? I only have one chance. You never get a second chance to make a first impression. If I'm using your software and I'm getting advice from you, you're going to help me to make sure that I don't have that 5 or 8 seconds with them and lose them, you know?
Yeah,
I want to catch them.
Think about how frustrating it is to have someone come to your website or come into your product and get confused about what they have to do next. That's what we're trying to eliminate. And we've all experienced themselves. I mean, heck, I've been in situations where I've gone to go do something and I just peace out. It's like, I can't figure this out. I need to go contact support. Right? You know, and it's horribly frustrating. I mean, if you pay money for things, you can't use the damn thing.
Right.
That's the inspiration on the product. And I've been on both sides. I use plenty of things, and it's sometimes some things are painfully tough to use. And, you know, one of the things I always tell our new employees is that we're trying to rid the world of bad software.
Yeah.
There's a lot of it out there. You know, some people say software's eating the world. You know, some of it's not great. I don't want it to eat me, right?
Right.
So, so we're trying to help make that software better to use. And also, as a person building things, I want to make sure that people are able to consume it,
yeah.
Right? One of the most painful and frustrating situations as a product person is spending all this time building something, releasing it, and finding out no one uses it.
Right.
I mean, that's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a huge hit to your ego.
Well, and to your pocketbook, too.
well, yeah, that ultimately
yeah.
Catches up to you, doesn't it?
So your frustration, you know, necessity is the mother of invention in your case, because you were frustrated and you decided, you know, we got to fix this. And so that's where this company Pendo came from, right? Latin for value, Swahili for love. Again, it's all about customer loyalty. All right. So then if you had a moment, which you do, off the top of your head, what are some of the things that people can do, that organizations, companies, entrepreneurs, to make sure that they don't waste their money on, first of all, crappy websites that don't do what they're supposed to do, that frustrate people and drive them away? They're actually, it's like going fishing and putting a dog poop on your hook. It's like the fish don't want that. They go, what is that? And they swim the other direction. You want good, juicy bait. So What would you suggest? Any thought leadership, big thought?
I think there's two main things. The first thing is measure everything. if anything in 2017 is possible is through big data and cloud technologies, we can store data cheaper than we've ever been able to store data in history. So leverage it. Capture what's going on. You have no excuse for not knowing what your users or customers do in 2017. Pendo does it. There's other solutions that do it. Know what's happening. I mean, that's number one, because honestly, it's kind of irresponsible not to know. Number two is, this is a simple thing. Greet your users when they come to you the first time. Greet them. Like, you used the example of a nice hotel. Isn't it nice when you walk into a nice hotel and someone greets you? They show you around. Look, we've been to hotels before, but it feels better when someone shows us what's unique about this hotel, and where everything lives, what they call this thing. I think the same thing for software. When I use a piece of software the first time, show me around. Introduce me to it nicely. Like, I don't know all the words you use for everything. We all have jargon, right?
Right.
Don't assume that your end users know exactly what they're supposed to do when they log in and start using something the first time. So those are the two key things. Measure everything and just greet your users. Make it pleasant. Show them around. You'll get huge results from those two things.
Mm. Hell of a good advice. And it's funny because you're not really reinventing anything. You're just kind of moving it from the physical to the digital. And you're taking basic,
exactly,
you know, basic common courtesy is what you're saying, back to you saying, we help people to love the process and to love the products. And you know, that way they feel valued and they will place value on that experience. You know, I think
exactly.
it's pretty cool,
yeah,
because
huge.
It's not rocket science. It's just, here it is again. Measure everything. Use that big data and those cloud technologies. Greet your users. Common sense kind of stuff that I think a lot of times we, you know, I say to my wife, you know, hey, what's going on? I want to do this. Going on. She goes, hold on, let me overthink that. And I go, stop it. You don't need to. It's simple. You know, we overthink things, right?
Gosh. Exactly. All exactly. Right. And honestly, the showing that you care when you greet someone, not everyone does it. You're going to immediately stand out for your competition. So it's a great way to make a great first impression.
Well, I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. Pendo.io. And Todd Olson, co-founder and CEO. Pendo, again, stands for value in Latin, love in Swahili. And I think this is good stuff. And you don't have to be in Silicon Valley to be good at what you do. And that's part of what I wanted to talk about in this segment. All right, brother. Thank you very much. Great advice. Good, simple stuff. Pendo.io. Todd Olson, thanks.
Thanks, Alan. Take care.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk to Scott Duffy, see what he's been up to. You know, we do the Business and Burgers thing, businessandburgers.com. This is Entrepreneur Weekly.
Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Talk about a disruptive human being. Scott Duffy joining us now. Entrepreneur maniac. We were talking, Scott, in the last segment about how you can kind of live wherever you want and do business these days. If you do it well, you can do whatever the hell you want. That's called being an entrepreneur in my book. But by the way, I noticed, speaking about being everywhere, you're in the car right now driving, I can tell.
I am.
The interviews and people that you've been hanging out with, let me just off the top of my head, I saw you with Shaun White, right? And Tony Hawk, right?
Right.
Sarah Blakely, Gary V, that's why they say it that way, Gary Vaynerchuk.
Mm-hmm.
You and I were with Damon John recently for the last Business and Burgers we did, businessandburgers.com, if you want to see that.
This is true.
But you're like, you know, you're like a jet setter, and you were in business with Sir Richard Branson a couple, I don't know how many years, been a decade ago, whatever. But, I mean, that dude's an international guy. He does business all over the place. So what are some of the interesting insights you can bring to the table to this topic?
You know, it's really interesting because – when I take a look at the people that are really crushing it out there, right? A guy like you mentioned, you know, like Shaun. So he's won, what, 2 Olympic golds, 10 ESPYs.
I think he's won more golds than anyone in X Games history. Or you take a look at a guy like Tony Hawk. Tony, who said, you know, some of those crazy tricks that he does, you know, he doesn't just come up with those things and they happen tomorrow. Some of those tricks actually take him 10 years,
right?
You know? And what I've learned by being around these folks is the importance of one thing. They all use the same word, visualization.
Mm.
Really getting absolutely clear on what you want and seeing yourself get there. But they don't just visualize on getting to the goal. What they do is where they're visualizing, where they see themselves, is having already achieved the goal and then looking back at it. And I'll give you an example. I remember Shaun White was talking about when he went to compete for his first Olympic gold. You know, his real dream was he wanted to be on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine. So what he did is he visualized himself not winning the gold, but he visualized himself on the cover of Rolling Stone, looking back and talking about what it was like to win the gold. Like, he'd already achieved it in his mind. And he went so far that he actually had an entire custom wore, like these crazy pants and these clothes that were actually made for him when he was on Rolling Stone. And he visualized himself in these clothes that he had made. And so when he won the gold, guess what? He was actually invited to be on Rolling Stone, and he wore those clothes. He wore that new outfit he made.
Most snowboarders just visualize girls. I guess if you're an entrepreneur snowboarder or an entrepreneur skateboarder like Tony Hawk, you visualize gold medals and doing, you know, 360s, flying twists with a half knuckle, whatever they call them, you know.
Well, and that's the thing that I thought was so fascinating, too, about, like, Tony Hawk. So my daughters, you know, are both, they're 8, 9 years old, and they're both little skaters. They take skate lessons. They go to the skate parks and all that kind of stuff. Coach Joe, he's awesome. And we watch Tony Hawk videos on YouTube. And so to hear from him that, you know, some of those tricks that he's done take 10 years, 10 years of practice, 10 years of trial and error, 10 years of falling on his face and getting all beat up. You know, it's amazing what it takes not only to visualize it, but how much work it takes for any of us to succeed.
Well, it's like Bruce Lee. You know, you have to do something 10,000 times good before you're professional, if you know what I mean. Same kind of a process.
Yeah. It's I hear you.
You know, and that's why, you know, even with my kids, I tend to think to myself, you know, well, if they do it once, they figured it out and let's move on. No. You need to do it over and over and over again until you've learned it and it becomes a part of the thread, you know, the fabric of your life, in essence. And so I think, right, you know, that's what makes the difference, like, between a professional and an amateur, right?
Yeah, it's like that old, you know, famous Bruce Lee quote. I don't fear the man who knows it 10,000 kicks. I fear the man who's practiced one kick 10,000 times.
There you go. Yeah, well, you know, and it's interesting because you were talking about Gary Vaynerchuk. He there is a guy, he is so abrasive, and sometimes I hate it because it's so abrasive, but it depends on who's looking over my shoulder, because if it's just me, I can take it, I can hack it, because his message is such harsh truth, you know, but if there's somebody looking over your shoulder, you're like, oh, did that word offend? Oh, did that word offend? Oh, did what he say offend? Because we've become so afraid. If you watch what's going on in the world, we're so afraid to be judged by others. That's a big deal, is to get over being afraid of being judged. You're going to be judged, everybody. I'm judging you now. But but you know what? You got to just get over it.
You know, the word that I love the most that I think describes Gary Vee is consistent.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I love about Gary is since he got online, he's been consistent. He knows who he is. He knows what his message is. And he pumps out a ton of content consistently. And, you know, in today's world, here's the crazy thing. 65% of purchase decisions are made today before a person ever gets to the store. It's crazy. What people do is they go online. They go on social media. They go on Yelp. They talk to their friends. They get all this information before they make a decision. And so by the time they've actually got to you, I mean, in most cases, they've already decided what it is they're going to buy.
Yeah.
You know, the old saying, you know, Mark Zuckerberg is always saying, you know, I'm much more likely to buy from a close friend than anything you have to say about your business or brand.
Right.
And so I look at Gary, and he's super consistent, And that's really the way all of us have to behave, you know, as business folks today online, is we have to be really consistent about getting quality content out on a regular basis and continuing to feed our customers.
I can't remember who said it now. I think it was Simon Sinek. Consistency over intensity, right?
Yeah, so, for sure.
By the way, I don't know if you know it or not, but you give love a bad name. We're going to take a break.
Wow.
I want to talk to you about Dave Meltzer when you come back, and I want to know how he's doing with the Elevator Pitch Show, Entrepreneur. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor. That's Scott Duffy. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor. We're talking with Scott Duffy. You can find him at scottduffy.com. You'll see him at Entrepreneur's Facebook often, at live events, speaker, author, wild man. He's just spent some time with Sean White, Tony Hawk, Sarah Blakely, Damon John, Gary Vee. But I want to ask you, one of the guys that is the rock star in our world right now with Entrepreneur is Elevator Pitch, a new video series we've been doing. Now in its second season, I understand, beginning a second season. Dave Meltzer, how's he doing, by the way?
Oh, my gosh. Dave is absolutely killing it. Have you seen Elevator Pitch yet?
I have. It's awesome.
It is such a great show. If you haven't seen it yet, you can go to entrepreneur.com. You can find it there. You can find it on YouTube and across several different OTT networks. But I tell you what, you know, the concept is that as an entrepreneur, I hop into an elevator and I go up 60 floors. I have 60 seconds to make my pitch to a group of investors. And when I get to the top, they're either going to invite me to come off the elevator and to meet with them, or they're going to send me back downstairs.
Right.
And it's really cool. I mean, the way I look at it, it's kind of like, it's almost like Shark Tank, but with a heart. And, you know, Dave is the executive producer on the show and helped to create it along with our friends, the Entrepreneur. And it's just, it's killing it out there. And if you haven't downloaded it yet, Dave's podcast, The Playbook. So Dave Meltzer, The Playbook, was just one of the top five podcasts on Apple, on iTunes. And so I really encourage you, if you haven't already, to go download it, go review it, go share it. Great lessons from some of the most amazing athletes and entertainers and business people around.
Cool. No question about it. Dave, who... You know, I mean, to know him is to love him. He's the hardest working guy in the world. It's insane. And I just wanted to make sure that we gave him a little props out there for all that hard work. Question I have for you, though, before we run out of time is, I want to know, out of all these interviews that you're doing, is there any commonality, any common thing that you're noticing between these rock stars of entrepreneurs?
You know, it surprises me what it is. What I found is the most common characteristic of high performance is that they have got this absolute passion, this crazy obsession for learning. And the reason is this. The reason is, you know, if you go back like 100 years, so it's 2017, you go back to 1917, the average male in the U.S. 100 years ago only lived to be 49 years old. And I'm 47, and that just freaks me out. That's crazy. And maybe back then, all you had to do is be good in business, like be good at one thing, right? Because you had your lifespan was pretty short, so you could be really good at one thing, one skill, whatever it was that you did, and that's enough. But today, you know, that's back in the day when change moved really slow, right? Things happen slowly, but today change is exponential. Things happen so fast that, you know, what I found is that thing that you did 5 years ago, that thing that made you, that made you special, that thing that was your go-to thing, like your superhero power in business, that thing is your baggage today.
Mm.
And what the top performers know is that if they don't stay one step ahead, they don't continue to have this obsession around learning, it's too easy to fall behind. And so that's what I found.
All right, I'll add to that. What I have noticed out of all these interviews that I've done for the years that I've been doing this is that the thought leaders that are out there love people. And I think that if you don't love people, that you are going to have a very difficult time. If your motivation is money, if your motivation is fame and you know, whatever goes along with that, you are not going to have the same trajectory as if you did it because, yes, you want to earn money. You got to earn money to get ahead in life, to pay your bills, to feed your kids. Yes, you want to have some fame because that means that's kind of the validation that it's working. Okay, that doesn't hurt things, but you got to love people because you're dealing with people every day. You're helping people. You're creating products for people. You have to care about what those people think. So the love of people, of humanity, of mankind has got to be one of the biggies on your list. And it seems like that's what most of these people have, is they love other people. You know, it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It really is. And I think, you know, that's one of the things that I found as well. And, you know, in addition to just loving people, it's, you know, hiring great people, right? And then just getting out of their way, like giving them the resources that they need and getting out of their way.
Well, and that you said it right there. It's really at that point, then you got to trust those people that you love, because what you love about them is what made them who they are. And so you're right. You got to empower those people that you love and trust, because those are the people that are going to help you achieve that greatness. You know what I mean? It's like, look at the cover of Entrepreneur right now. 50 most daring entrepreneurs of 2017. And who's on there? Jeff Bezos. And it says how Jeff Bezos pushes his team to greatness. So I think a lot of times, and imagine that guy. I mean, it's not like he's got like 50 employees. He's probably got 50,000 employees. Right? How does he inspire all those people? It comes from the heart, man. People want to follow other people with a good heart that care, you know? So,
well, and it's so important. I mean, you talk about following people with a good heart and the care. I think, you know, it's so important for all of us if we are going out and looking for work, right? Or we are going out to partner with somebody. It's so important to find people that really love you and that really believe in you, because if they believe in you, they're going to invest in you. And if they invest in you and you take advantage of that, I mean, that is really an opportunity that you want to take advantage of.
Well, and you know what? Look around us, the people we get to work with. I mean, like Dave Meltzer is a perfect example. I love that guy. Yeah. I love you, man.
He's the best.
I love you.
He's the best.
Right? And you know what else? I love Chase Jarvis, who's coming up next from the Daily Creative, and he's going to answer some of the questions of the folks around this world, because we're in a global society. And Scott Duffy.
I just read something awesome. You got to stay tuned to listen to Chase. Chase is unbelievable.
He is. He's a great guy. All right. Drive careful out there, brother. Keep doing all the good stuff. You guys can find him at Entrepreneur's Facebook. See you later, Scott.
See ya.
All right. Again, coming up next on Entrepreneur, right here is Chase Jarvis. Don't go too far.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And every week we do answer your questions, at least my friend Chase Jarvis does, from the Daily Creative. Chase is also the co-founder of Creative Live, the world's leading online education platform for creatives and entrepreneurs like you and I. You can find Chase and everything he does, along with over 10,000 hours of creative content, at creativelive.com. The phone number is 802-962-4357. All right, we have a caller calling in all the way from India. His name is Kalyan. He wants to start his own company and wants advice on whether or not to have his own business by himself or build a team. Now, this question doesn't get asked enough, even though it's a pretty simple, basic question for most business people. He doesn't have any business background, and he's nervous about how to build a successful business. Chase, what do you think?
The question is essentially, should I build a team or stay solo? Well, first and foremost, you should do what your business can support. I think that's a really, really important lesson. I've seen people over-invest in gear, over-invest in staff, over-invest in just overhead, like they want to get a big studio, they want to do all this stuff way before they have any clients, way before they have the pressures to perform under, you know, and deliver more volume, for example. So I also heard in there that You don't have skills managing people. That is an entire skill set unto itself. Management is like, then you're just doubling your worries. So this is a really straightforward answer. You need to have a business that's so successful that you need additional people in order to help you do the work. There's also something I believe, yes, I'd like you to outsource your weaknesses. I would like you to outsource weaknesses like accounting, for example. I think you should be able to balance a checkbook, but doing your taxes, for example, just paying somebody a couple $100, you can have someone else do your taxes. To me, that's a great use of time. But everything else, you should try and understand first by doing what your strengths and weaknesses are, what you enjoy, what you don't enjoy, just specifically around your craft and the billing enough to get paid to do what you're doing. And I think that's a great guideline for all of the other stuff. If you do that with respect to the business, and then you're thinking about, well, should I hire somebody? Why do you want to hire somebody? That's my question back to you. And if the answer, I'm going to make an assumption that you look on the internet and you see other people and they've got full teams, you think that that's required to do the job. I made, first of all, with zero people, then with one person, and then just over time we added people as we had A, the revenue to support it, and B, the revenue supported the people, supported the volume. So it's really important that you don't overextend yourself. To me, that's one of the number one things that creatives do wrong is they extend themselves too soon. You need to be so busy that you're like, I can't actually get all this stuff done without bringing somebody on to help. And realizing that when you do that, it's very difficult to then run the business and manage someone. And at first it's like, oh, I'm just going to have an assistant and I'm going to tell them what to do. Well, that's not really a career aspiration for them. That's a very short-term one. So if I'm going to be prescriptive, it's don't hire someone until you actually need it and be under duress and pain for a while before you hire somebody, because that ensures that this is a sustained thing. It's not just a temporary blip. Can you use contractors? Can you use something else that's not building a team, but building a team of freelancers, not full-time work? To me, that's a great solution to get you through that hard hump where you're trying to figure out how much it costs. And you can do that with contractors on a really simple basis. You can test that for a while, and then the expectations are set on the other side of the table as well. Your contractors, they don't expect to be hired full-time. So your question was about building a team, but I'm going to tweak that a little bit. I'm going to say there's checkbox. We answered that question around team, but I want you to think about that as the same thing with overhead in general. Are you so busy? Have you rented studios enough or gone to the local WeWorks or the, you know, all those different places that have places that you can rent? Have you done that enough such that it's so busy and you did the math and you realized that, you know what, I'm actually spending more money having that temporary overhead as I would with something if I owned it or if I had a long-term lease. And you should do that with every part of your business. I see creatives that want to emulate with gear, with overhead, with studios, with a team. They see what's happening on the internet with people who are wildly successful and they think that that's how they got success. No, no, that's a product of success. So that's the way I think you should handle it, and I hope I answered your question. But it's a really popular question. I think I'm really glad you asked it, and I want you to know that you're not alone in this thing. This is a question that so many – I went through this process, and I know so many creatives. And the same is true with even a startup. Even if you get a bunch of venture-backed stuff and you've got all this money, if you just, you know, hire for the sake of hiring without actually understanding that there's a real need, you're going to get out over your skis, and it's going to cost you a lot in the long term. So keep it lean. Keep it tight. Keep it small, manageable, until you're busting at the seams, and then expand. Sweet. Thank you very much for the question. I appreciate it.
Great advice, because we always are too big for our britches when we first start our business. So very good advice. The phone number again is 802-962-4357. That's Chase Jarvis, the Daily Creative. We do it every week right here on Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll see you next week. Same time, same channel.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.